Jaff stepped over a rivulet of broken stone and dust, his arm leaving my shoulders. His hands flicked and two silver guns appeared, held low and ready as he edged forward.
Jaff wasn't hoping trouble would pass us by. He knows trouble is about to happen, and he's tried to keep me from worrying about it as long as possible. Great.
The temple's roof had either been non-existent in the first place, or destroyed so completely it didn't matter. The inside was such a mess either was a fair guess. Great chunks of masonry were gouged up and scattered around, and unlike the outside, dust lay in a carpet up to my shins. I waded in. The massive rectangular space focused on the far end, where a bank of glowing, nacreous steps crouched in a long winged shape I had to blink at before recognizing as an altar. The walls ran with a riot of color unsmirched by damage, and I had to swallow hard when I saw it was mosaic. Fantastical creatures with wings and fins leapt and cavorted against jungle green, and everywhere there were slender, graceful golden women, all with glyphs worked into their flesh, white robes cut aside to reveal the marks proudly. After the desertion of the city outside, it was an assault.
Anubis. The mosaics.
It was traditional. Hurry.
Where?
He tipped his head toward the altar.
Up the steps, while I make certain no other intrudes. If the Angelicos brought it, the casket is there. Please, Hedera, as you love life, hurry.
He backed away from the doors, covering them in standard position, something I might have learned at the academy. I waded through the dust, picking my way around beached hunks of stone. When I glanced up, there was nothing but the red light. I couldn't see the roof of the cavern.
That's probably a good thing. I don't want to see what's glowing fiercely enough to drench this entire place with light. I also don't want to be reminded of how far we'll fall if the bridges quit screaming and started breaking. It would be just my luck to have centuries-old demon glasswork fail just as I got here. There's nothing sacred left here. The gods have fled, if they were ever invited in the first place.
The stairs reared out of the dust. Oddly, no grime had settled on those white, white plains. The altar crouched, its shape less rectangular and more sinuous now, carved with deep-scored lines I recognized as angular demon writing, their peculiar rune alphabet. I tested the first step with my boot before trusting my weight to it. Other sight was almost useless here. Between Jaframel and the haze of grief in the air, it was even difficult to see my own aura. It was like being blind, being unable to see the interplay of forces under the skin of the world. The altar's main portion had a curved back, and something I stared at for a long moment before making sense of it. Manacles made of silvery metal lay tangled across each end of the main part. On the winged subaltars on either side were deep lines. Blood grooves. A long ago memory of an illustration in a textbook rose to supply the term. The chains looked thin, strands almost hair fine, twisted together in complex patterned knots.
I'll bet every credit I ever earned doing bounties that they held just about anything down.
In the middle of the tangled mess of metal, a rectangle of darkness sat. I recognized it immediately. It was the twin to Sephramel's wooden box. Only this one looked oiled, well cared for, and was closed, with a dainty little silver padlock shaped like wings.
For now, simply take what is yours by right.
I reached out for it, stopped halfway.
What about those chains? Who did they chain here? Hedera? Or demons?
Dante?
There's chains. What were they for?
For a Hedera's safety. Is it there?
There's a wooden box. It looks like...
Pick it up. For the sake of every god of your kind and mine, hurry!
The premonition hit so hard my chin snapped aside as if I'd been punched. If I could relax, it would swim up through dark water and swallow me, and I would see a bit of the future. Not much, never enough, but maybe something useful.
Trouble is, relaxing isn't anywhere close to what I want to do right now.
I stared at the box, my eyes unfocusing as the premonition circled, drew closer, and passed me by, close enough that I felt a brush like thousands of tiny feathers through the air around me.
Dante, take it from the altar.
I leaned forward to do so.
Yes. Take up the knife, Dante Valentine. Let us see what you can cut with it.
I jerked around in a tight half-circle. Fudoshin cleared the scabbard. Blue fire woke along its edge, runes from the nine cannons twisting on its curve, the heart of the blade burning white. Rage woke in a blinding red spray, and I took two steps, my body coiling, compressing elastic demon muscle preparatory to explosive action. My rings spat a cascade of golden sparks. No spells left in them, just pure power accumulating in the sensitized stones and metal. Eve stepped out of the shadows of wreckage at the far left side of the altar, her pale hair catching fire and lifting a little, framing her sweet face. She was beautiful in the way only demons can be, wearing her exotic golden skin like a silk glove, her wide dark blue eyes, Doreen's eyes, meeting mine with the force of a hover collision. Above and between those eyes, an emerald glowed, set into the smoothness of her forehead.
Just like Lucifer.
I flinched at the thought. She had Doreen's triangular face, Doreen's mouth, and a wary little half-smile that was all mine, under the supple carapace of demon beauty.
On Lucifer, beauty looks deadly. On Jeff, it's purely functional. On Eve, it's magic.
And under it, I saw the shadow of the child I had rescued from Santino's lair. The child Lucifer had taken as I watched helplessly under the bright hammer blow of Nuevo Rio sunlight.
The only child I might ever have.
Behind her, resolving around a pair of bright blue gas flame eyes, was Velokel the Hunter. Broad and powerful as a bull, his large square teeth closed away behind lips that thinned as they took me in. I twitched. But Eve's eyes met mine, and she smiled, a genuine smile.
You've come so very far.
She smelled of bread baking and demon musk, a powerfully comforting scent.
How did you get here?
Kel has tracked more tricksome beasts than the Angelicus, Dante. It was not quite child's play to follow the knife, but it was close. And still, so much depends on you. Now here we are, and we have little time. Stay where you are, Kinslayer.
Jaframel halted midway across the sea of dust. Both his guns were trained on Eve.
If you touch her.
Eve shrugged. She wore black, a merino sweater and loose elegant slacks, a pair of what looked like handmade Taliano boots. Kel made do with buff-colored canvas slacks and a blouse under a leather doublet, complete with a pouch and a curved horn hanging from his broad leather belt. They called him Velokel the Hunter, and I wondered if he'd seen this city before when he was hunting Hedera.
That is exactly the least comforting thought in the world.
There is no need for threats, eldest.
Eve took a step toward me, measured Jaframel with a single glance, and took another.
We are not at cross purposes here.
Jaff pulled the hammers back on both silver guns. It was an absurd bit of theater, since I wasn't sure what they fired, but it was at least effective.
I will not serve you.
I have not asked for your service. I have offered myself to my mother.
Her smile was wide, white, and so forgiving I could have bathed in it.
My mother.
My heart leapt inside its cage of ribs, pounding high and hard until it settled in my throat. A worm of unease turned inside my battered brain.
Danny, something's very wrong here. Grab the box and let's go.
I hesitated, my sword dipping just a little.
If Jaframel moves on Eve, I have to try to protect her. He's too damnably quick and I'm tired, starving.
My head was full of broken connections, and even my shields were incapable of protecting me from a direct hit. But maybe I could slow him down enough for her to escape.
Why is she here? I'm supposed to meet her in Hegemony Frange in Paradise. What game's being played now?
I didn't care.
She's safe. Lucifer hasn't caught her yet.
Relief scored through my chest. At least I hadn't betrayed her. I'd taken the worst the devil had to dish out. But she was safe.
Thank you, gods. If there are still gods who want to hear my prayers, thank you.
What nonsense you speak, even for one so young. Stay back. Dante, move away.
No, I didn't have a free hand to pick the box up with. My eyes flicked to Velocal. He wasn't as powerful as Jaffermel. I could calculate him down to the last erg of energy. But Kel might be able to buy Eve enough time to escape if my fallen moved on her. Which left me with getting the other half of the knife and helping hold Jaff, if I could.
Once I have the whole knife, I have a chance. If it can injure any demon...
I felt sick at even thinking it. I didn't want to hear its disgusting little noise ever again.
But Eve, think about her, Danny. You promised you'd save her. You couldn't before, and Lucifer took her. Now you have a second chance. You'd better use it.
It took every scrap of courage I possessed to slide my sword back into its sheath and clutch it tight. A practiced movement I didn't need my eyes for. I edged back two steps, put down my other hand, and touched the altar. The stone was warm, resonating under my fingertips. I snatched my hand back. All three pairs of demon eyes were on me. The city held its breath.
We should go.
I caught a breath of Velokel's scent. Musk and torn open oranges. Demon spice and blood. I felt behind me to my right again, searching for the box without touching the altar's stone.
Please. Sekhmet Sias, please. This is beginning to get ridiculous.
My emerald spat a green spark, my accreditation tat running under my skin. Eve folded her arms. Her emerald shot a dart of bright green.
The next move is yours, Dante. When you take up the knife, you will become the key to the throne of hell. He will have to come to terms with you, and so will the eldest.
Oh, I'm the key. Great. That makes so much sense now. Thanks for telling me.
When did you guess it was me?
And why didn't you say anything before?
I kept feeling for the box.
She doesn't know the knife is in pieces, so maybe Lucifer doesn't know either.
That was either very good or very bad, depending.
Your coming was foretold.
She indicated the altar with a sketch of a polite gesture, stopping when Jaffermel moved forward another two steps.
Nice of someone to tell me.
My questing fingers touched oiled wood. I hooked them down and pulled the box toward me, cautiously. My hip brushed the altar. A thrill shot through my bones, blooming from my hip. The altar let out a piercing note. I scooped up the box and whirled, faced now with carrying it and getting the hell out of there somehow. Jaffermel stood. His guns vanished. I blinked. The long, slim iron cylinder McKinley had given him was in his narrow golden hands, and his attention was fixed on Eve. I snapped a glance in her direction, but she'd already seen my eyes widen, and her gaze flicked to my fallen, the color draining from her face, leaving an unhealthy pallor under the even goldenness.
No! No!
Veritas in omni re.
His fingers curved over the iron box's lid.
Now we shall see your true face.
What the bloody blue hell?
Jaffermel!
I didn't have any idea what I was going to say to stop him. He tore the lid off, tossing the contents of the cylinder from him. It roared, shattering the stillness, and my body reacted without thought. The entire city woke, felt in the bones instead of heard, and hot blood gushed painlessly from my nose, rivulets of warmth sliding down my neck. I damn near dropped my sword. Combat instinct pitched me to the side, rolling, and I bumped down the stairs in a flurry of arms and legs, gaining my balance in a crouch. I lurched to my feet unsteadily. Jaff ran. Just before he collided with me, rib-snapping force pulled just at the last second, and both of us went sprawling as a flare of black diamond power tore the air apart and left it bleeding. I struggled against Jaff's hands,
A chance twist of my torso breaking me halfway free. He caught me again. His fingers dug into my nape just as a mama cat will hold an unruly kitten. And somehow he was kneeling next to me, his fingers irresistible as he forced my head up. Eve had gone down, but Velokel was still standing, the hunter's flesh blackened, running on his bones. His cry tore more stone loose and kicked up great gouts of choking dust. His shape changed, and horns lifted searing black from his forehead, curling back around his ears. He was even more squat now, corded with muscle, his legs sprouting fur and ending in massive hooves that cracked the stone steps as he leapt back to avoid whatever Jaff had thrown. It was a smear of hurtful golden brilliance, rolling with odd bounces as it leapt up the stairs in merry defiance of physics. Only Velokel's eyes were the same. Bright blue above a blackened ruin of a face that mutated even as I watched. Eve leapt to her feet. Her shape was still the same, slender and female. But a shell of power clung to her in tattered streamers, painting streaks of green on the air as her emerald spat spark after spark, each a point of hurtful brilliance. Her eyes lightened, a blue to match Velokel's, and her haggard face was no longer a copy of my dead lover's. I stared. Jaframel hauled me up. The ground underfoot began to vibrate.
Dante! Go!
I couldn't tear my eyes away from Eve. Her shape changed like clay under running water, shards of illusion plainly visible to other sight now that it was broken. It was a glamour, a sorcery meant to feed the eyes a lie. She was beautiful, still, as only a demon could be. Her eyes were blue and her hair ran with snow-white flame, but there was no echo of Doreen in her face.
And no echo of me. Then who the hell is she? It can't be. She has to be, Doreen. She has to be.
Jaff dragged me aside just in time. A chunk of stone nailing the floor right where we'd been standing.
Run!
I got my feet under me and pelted for the door. Disturbed dust rose, choking thick.
Shamrock eats a billion.
I didn't need a dictionary to translate what Velokel roared. The demon who had claimed to be Doreen's daughter, my daughter, screamed. The demon I was going to kill Lucifer to defend. Jaff's fingers closed around my left arm. He pulled me aside as the doorway we'd entered through crumbled. Massive marble slabs coming down.
What the goddamn motherfucking hell is going on?
We made it through one of the smaller doors just in time. The sudden cessation of noise was shocking in and of itself. But even more shocking was Jaframel skidding to a halt.
No!
His fingers turned to iron and dug in mercilessly. He plucked the wooden box from me as easily as taking candy from a child.
No!
Suddenly, Jaff's fingers laced with mine, ended with me whirled behind him.
This is unlike you, my eldest.
I blinked at Jaframel's back. One of his hands behind his back, holding my right hand with bone-crunching force, his knuckles pale. I sagged.
This is it? It's over?
In front of us, his very presence staining the air with black fury, was the Prince of Hell.
Again.
My entire body turned into a bar of tension, Jaff's fingers squeezing pitilessly at mine. Pain bolted up my arm, exploded in my shoulder as I backpedaled, trying to rip my hand free and escape. My fallen's aura clamped down over me. Jaframel held me in place. He laughed, like murder in a cold alley at midnight. The sudden idea that I could probably tear my own arm off and escape didn't sound as laughable as it might otherwise have. There was a black hole in my head, dilating with terrible force, and at any moment, I would remember.
And this is unlike you, Prince. I thank you for your care of my Hedera. Your hospitality remains ever the same.
I used her as I saw fit. What else is a right hand for?
We are all toys for your pleasure, my lord.
Jaframel made a small movement. The sound of wood striking the ruined stone punctured my heart.
Of course you are.
Oh God, Jaff, let go. What are you doing? Let go of me.
It hurt. Jaff's hand grinding mine into powder. The pain was a silver spike nailing me to earth, even as the hole in my head widened, my psyche cracking under the strain.
That is what the rebellion was after, Prince. You should take more care with such trinkets.
Anubis, someone help me!
I bent back, my entire body a stretched taut bow of longing, aching for escape.
I'll leave the arm behind if I have to. I just want away!
Lucifer said nothing, but the pressure of his rage was a storm front moving in, an eye-popping strain. Even the icy heat of this place between Earth and Hell felt warm and fuzzy by comparison. Jaframel drew himself up. He was a good bit taller than me, but he seemed even bigger now, and I was suddenly deeply grateful he was between me and the devil. Shame boiled up hot and vicious under my breastbone. I'd always fought my own battles before, hadn't I?
Not against that. Not that again. I can't.
My aura trembled under Jaframel's, on the verge of locking down hard and crystalline. If that happened, if I went Nova, I'd implode right before I did something stupid. I would die.
But we'd see just what my half of the knife would do to any demon in my way first.
I felt the devil's teeth in my own flesh, tearing at whatever remained of my sanity. They speared deep. My eyelids fluttered, and Jaframel's fingers gave one last terrible squeeze, the scar on my shoulder burning, burning. My head whipped to the side just in time to see Velikel the Hunter pound out of the temple and across the dead plaza, his aura blazing. Blue fire veined his hooves and crackled between the points of his horns. Jaff moved. Kel collided with Lucifer. The shock of that impact would have knocked us both sprawling if Jaff wasn't already down, his body folded over mine. We tumbled, the world turning upside down and inside out. Streaks of rancid light shot past, and a warm wall of displaced air shoved us even further. My ears bled, deafened from the noise of the world ending. I struggled up, my left hand still weighed down with my sword inside its sheath.
Gods, I've survived seeing the devil again. So far.
Jaframel gained his feet in a leap that might have surprised me once. His eyes blazed, casting shadows down his gaunt cheeks, and his hair was caked with dust. His mouth moved, but I couldn't hear whatever he might have said. He grabbed my arm again. No. The prickle of his claws sank in through tough fabric. No. He pulled. I went willingly. He didn't bother to slow down, just dragged me over a pile of broken house-sized stones jittering in place. It was a good thing, too, because the snarling mass that was two demons in combat hit the pile right behind us, stone grinding into powder and flying aside, another shockwave hitting me in the back with massive impact. Yeah. Jaff's boots touched down and he leapt, his wings coming free with a convulsive fluid tearing and the world turned over again. Because he'd tossed me, my arm almost pulling free of the socket, tendons screaming savagely as they stretched and I had to gasp in air flavored with heat, dust, and the sweet rotten fruit smell of demon blood. He'd flung me free of the blast zone, just like tossing a grav ball for the hoop.
Awful nice of him. Oh, this is gonna hurt. My legs might shatter if I land on them. There's not enough time to look for a landing. No time!
I hit hard. Shoulder driving into stone and my head hitting something that might have cracked it like a melon if the hard shell of power over me hadn't deflected most of the force. It still rang my chimes pretty good.
At least my hearing is back.
I blinked. laying dazed and pinned to the floor of a nightmare, before being jerked to my feet once more. I reached up, trying to smear the blood out of my eyes, and my hand hit Jaff's shoulder. He pulled me down a narrow alley, floored with quaking white stones, earth shifting below our feet as the city moved again. This time it shook itself like someone had just poked an animal with a big sharp stick.
Danny, how do you get yourself into these things?
Don't answer that, just run. You're running for your life, Sunshine.
As if I didn't know, Jace.
The alley twisted like it wanted to throw us off its back. Panicked hilarity ran through my head in time with our blurring footsteps. Light ran and blurred because my eyes watered, trying to cope with the caustic dust blowing everywhere. Japhomel dragged me aside. We ran down a long avenue receding into infinity, rows of fantastical statues marching down either side. The shapes were hybrid. Cats with wings, serpents with paws and manes, and each one was faceless, the features clawed off, the air turning to quicksand. One of the statues uncoiled. It was a long black sinuous shape, its eyes glowing green. It streaked across the avenue and leapt for us. Japhomel shot it twice without breaking stride. The heat of its obsidian hide exploded around us. We burst out onto the fringes of a long field of dry, black, crumbling dirt. There was a streak of flame lifting to our right, one of the bridges, twisting like taffy and bouncing in ways nothing but looked so fragile should. I stumbled and might have sprawled headlong if Jaff hadn't given my arm another terrific yank. My shoulder gave way with a crunch of agony. The field flashed underfoot, my dislocated shoulder crunching with furious agony each time Jaff pulled, and he ran right off the edge of the world, carrying me with him. We fell. I heard the sound his wings made as he spread them, his fingers slipping through mine as my abused shoulder suddenly gave way again. For a moment, I thought we were flying. I saw with a great scalding wash of relief that my numb left hand was locked around Fudoshin. My right arm flopped uselessly, and rising up underneath us in a rush was a thin thread of shadow. We hit the bridge hard and almost tumbled off. I found myself clinging to Jaff, one of his hands tangled in my rig, my messenger bag strap cutting into my shoulder, caught in his claws. His other hand flashed down, driving a silver-bladed knife, one of the short, slightly curved blades he sometimes used for sparring, into the bridge's surface. I started to feel a little pale. My legs hung out into space, the hard, stony edge of the bridge right at my hips, and I would have thrashed if I could have moved, trying to get back up onto solidity. Jaff's eyes closed. He pulled, my dead weight sliding back from the abyss. We lay there for a moment, tangled together, and I was mildly surprised to find myself still alive.
Heart beating, lungs mostly working, all original appendages mostly still there. Hallelujah! I'd share my joy, but I'm busy shuddering with great gouts of unholy, uncontrollable panic. I've gone mad. Wonderful, marvelous, great!
The most horrible thing was that it didn't feel abnormal anymore. Insanity seemed the order of the day. The bridge flexed underneath us. Jephomel's eyes snapped open, their greenness a sudden relief in all that red. He pulled me into his chest, his other hand still on the knife, driven hilt deep into stone. His lips pressed my forehead, once so hard I felt the shape of his teeth behind them.
I'm happy we're alive too. Now can we go home and forget about all this?
His ribs heaved.
Wait a minute. He's gasping for air too.
I suddenly didn't feel too happy about that.
Get up, we have to get up. Come on, Sunshine, move your ass.
I twitched. He seemed to understand, because his entire body tensed and he rolled to his feet. I struggled up to my knees, my dislocated arm flapping bonelessly, and he pulled on my rig. I barely managed, even with that help. And when I was finally set on my boots, I leaned against him, burying my face in his coat. The bridge flexed again, and if Jaff hadn't moved, we would have been pitched overboard.
Can you walk?
God, Kel sent hellhounds to chase me, and so did Lucifer. Maybe they're busy fighting each other now and they'll forget all about me.
I thought about that for a second.
Yeah, and wild hover buggies will fly out your ass. Get moving!
I tilted my head back, then tilted my chin back down to approximate a nod. He wasted no more time, but set off down the snaking gallop of the bridge. It was hard going, trying to negotiate a road that either dropped out from under us or slammed up to shake us off with no discernible rhyme or reason. My head dropped forward, chin resting almost on my chest, and I concentrated on one foot in front of the other. I felt only weary amazement to still be actually breathing, however short the time remaining for that miracle was.
Go figure. I must be stronger than I thought.
Then I wondered if that would be a challenge to the gods to prove it. We finally reached a broad shelf of rock anchored to the cavern wall, and my feet landed on relatively solid ground. Ice filled my veins.
That sounds like someone's dead. I hope it's him. If there's any justice in the world, it's him.
Not much time. Only a little farther, Adara. Stay with me.
I'm not going anywhere. Sticking like glue.
I felt like I'd lost my mind.
Maybe I have. I hope I have. This would be so much easier to handle if I did.
Not so far. Just stay with me, beloved. Only a little farther, I swear. I have not brought you this far to lose you now.
I would like to say I remember how we got out of the cavern, but I don't. Patches of darkness and the immense shock of the cold, the mark on my shoulder sending pulses of warm oil down my skin that couldn't touch the frozen inner core of me. I do remember the hover looming up out of the crystalline air and thinking, how did he manage to get us back here? I remember snow drifting up against the leaf springs holding the landing legs, icicles blooming on the moorings. The stairs were too much for me. Jeff had to drag me up one by one, and he pushed me through the seals and into the blessed smells of humanity, oil, metal, and hover. I fetched up against a stack of ammo crates, my skin twitching with exhaustion and my dislocated shoulder settling into a deep, unhappy throb.
I do not ever want to do that again. I know that sound.
I looked up. Leander Beaudry stood in the low orange glow of Arand flu strips, the plas rifle socked to his shoulder and pointed right at me. A little in front of him and out of his fire angle stood a tall, slim demon with ice for hair and burning blue eyes. The demon I'd known as Eve was still smiling, a rather gentle, childlike expression. Jeff Ramel stood by the hatch control, dust ground into his hair and his eyes volcanoes of green. His aura flared.
Your agents have been overpowered, and the prince will not long be delayed. I think it best we parley quickly, eldest.
Jeff Ramel stared at her for a few long seconds, as if a new and interesting insect had crawled out of the drain. Even if Jaff went for Leander, he'd still have to deal with Eve, or whoever the hell she was. I didn't feel up to outrunning one either.
Beaudry, what the fuck?
Sorry, Valentine.
His dark eyes never left my chest. If I twitched, he'd put a bolt through me. His accreditation tat twitched on his left cheek.
I've got orders.
You bastard. Laying on the I'm so scared act. And I fell for it, just like a green kid.
Working for demons now?
Yeah, Gemini Federal, actually. Field agent. Running across you in New Prague sure made my life interesting.
Charming. I am ready to bargain, eldest. Or we can let him find us here.
Speak.
Javramel's lips barely moved. I tried hard to come up with something brilliant. Nothing happened.
Where is the knife?
He threw the other half at Lucifer. We're fucked.
I kept my mouth shut. So did Jaff Ramel.
Come now. I saw you. You would not have handed over the one weapon that could set you free of his game so easily. Ergo, there is something amiss.
One ice-pale eyebrow lifted, and the grin she wore turned wolfish. A trick of a few centimeters changing in the landscape of her face. I couldn't stop staring, searching for echoes of Doreen, of the child Lucifer had taken so long ago.
It has to be Eve. It has to be. She just looks different because of whatever Jaff threw at her.
Javermel's eyes flicked to me, his attention never wavering.
It is elsewhere. The box was a decoy. I did not think it wise to trust such a weapon to the Angelicos.
What? What did you say?
The box on the altar was one of three decoys, meant to force both the rebellion and the prince to show their hands.
A decoy? You... Wait...
I went through all that for a decoy?
I leaned against the crates, my right shoulder burning with deep, drilling pain as it twitched.
I hope it's healing.
The moment the prince opens the box, he will know I am playing a new game. He may know now. When he does, he will be angry. But it will also alter the playing field. He cannot afford to let me reach the knife. But he also cannot afford to strike me down without knowing where it rests and holding it in his hands to assure himself he is safe.
He regarded Eve, or not Eve, or whoever the hell she was.
This one, he will slay on sight.
I am his favored one, and the thing he longs to possess.
He has sought to capture me because he will not let me die unbroken.
He may change his mind.
I'm so tired. Even my hair hurts. Let's just go. Can we just please leave?
Eve regarded me, then turned back to Javermel.
Such pretty things. They are so very fragile. How is her health, eldest?
I'd be a lot better if people would stop dragging me around. Oh, and if demons would stop trying to kill me. I'd have a much better time. It would be a vacation.
How does Velikel the Hunter fare, Androgyne?
Sometimes a piece must be sacrificed. You have played such games.
I hate to interrupt, but we're exposed here. If there's a pissed-off demon heading this way, we'd best conclude our business quickly.
Cease your yapping, little human.
Where's Lucas? And the agents? Not to mention the goddamn Neithrin.
Jaff, he's right. We should get the fuck out of here.
I am waiting to hear something of consequence.
One corner of his mouth curled up, slowly, dangerously.
I will not wait much longer.
The blue-eyed demon's expression matched his, an eerily perfect mimicry.
The prince wants me. I have become the bait that will lead him to the killing field. You are the hand that will strike, and she is the key. We should not linger here.
That's three votes for getting the fuck out of here. I consider the motion carried.
Jeff, we need to go now.
Very soon, beloved.
Then, everything happened at once. The hover woke into humming life, acceleration pressing down on everything in the hold as Javermel moved. He did not so much blink through space as reappear. He knocked aside the other demon's hands as she spat at him, his fingers sinking into her throat. McKinley's arm was across Leander's throat, dragging him backward. The Hellespont agent's black hair was wildly mussed, his clothing singed and torn, and his aura flared with violet light that fumed like homicidal rage. I spilled over, my muscles suddenly unable to cope with the task of keeping me upright. Chaos. My eyelids were terrifically heavy. As soon as I got one to peel up a little bit, the other one would fall down.
Javermel, will you please explain what's going on?
The hover pressed up, my consciousness lifting away. Disconnected. Gone. My eyes flew open and Javermel caught my fist. The punch stopped as if by a brick wall. My right shoulder was back in its socket, throbbing with a high note of yellow pain before another warm bath of power slid down my weary flesh. He slid his arm under my shoulders and lifted me just a bit, held something to my lips.
Drink.
I didn't even think to question it. I simply filled my mouth with whatever was in the cup and swallowed. It was warm, thick, and gelid.
and the spice of it coated the back of my throat. His blood.
Avayin, Hidera. Peace. All is well.
He tipped the cup and I had to swallow. I took it down in three long gulps. He set the cup aside. He sat next to me on the bed. He didn't look half-starved anymore, but he didn't look happy. The dust was still in his hair. A smear of something dark traced one high cheekbone. His mouth was set and thin.
I'm spending a distressing amount of time knocked out lately. Do half-demons get brain trauma? Hell, will I live long enough to find out?
Warmth exploded in the pit of my stomach. A comfortably full feeling, as if I'd just eaten my way through one of our old Taliano meals. I was able to sit up, finding myself still fully clothed. I was probably still able to wear my clothes again, despite them being dusty and dirty. At least they weren't torn to shreds and soaked with blood.
Not much blood, anyway.
My right shoulder throbbed before the pain vanished.
Eve?
That is not her name.
But she... Is she Doreen's? Is she?
I didn't care about anything else.
She is Vardimal's androgyne. You do not understand.
I wanted to set my jaw and shove down the sudden flare of anger. It flared anyway.
Whose fault is it if I don't understand? You won't tell me anything!
My voice made the hover shake.
You keep lying to me. All of it lies. You won't tell me what I am. You won't tell me what's going on. You just keep lying.
Yes.
I hadn't expected simple agreement. It managed to shut me up. His eyes slid away from me, stared across the small cabin. Outside the porthole, faint, dappled gray danced. Clouds. Wherever we were, it was now cloudy. And still night.
I will lie to keep you safe. I will lie to save you pain. I will lie to ease your mind, and I will lie so you may be certain of me. Answer me this, my curious. If even I will lie to you, what might another demon who does not cherish you do?
Oh, I think I have an idea.
My new rig lay tangled at the end of the bed. My sword was propped against the nightstand, but Jaframel was between me and its comforting slender length.
Is she still alive?
She is more useful to us alive. She is chained and watched. The human is also alive. A gift for my Hidera. Does that please you?
Ooh, I'm all aglow, Jaff. Why, that's just Marvy.
What did you do?
What have I not done? I set my trap and baited it. I played the Prince of Hell for a fool and lured him into showing his hand too soon. Today, I have cost him a great deal. In pride, in power, and in peace. The knowledge that he no longer has possession of the one weapon that could kill him has reached Hell. For I made certain of it when I invited him to meet me in the White-Walled City.
You did what?
We were descending. And quickly.
One of the Prince's marks of favor for his assassin was a certain item. When used, it strips the disguise from a demon, forcing him to take his true form. We are a tricksome species, and sometimes the veil of seeming must be torn. We have different weaknesses. If you know the form of a demon, you may fight him. Using the glaive, unfortunately, creates a disturbance that can be felt in Hell, especially in a place where the walls between our world and yours are so thin. All of Hell knows the glaive was triggered in the city. The prince could not afford to stay away, as that is the agreed-upon resting place for one of the decoys.
Decoys?
He rose. The room was narrow and curved, squeezed under the hull and bare of anything that might be considered a personal possession. That is, if I didn't count my new rig. My sword and my bag, now suddenly visible on a table, bolted to the wall near the porthole. Jaframel crossed to the porthole and looked out. His back was perfectly straight, his shoulders drawn up. Dust streaked along the curves of his coat, revealing subtle dips and creases of musculature hidden in the liquid black.
You must understand, Dante. I have served the prince for so long. Obedience became its own kind of trap, and I buried the rebellion in my heart. I was not free to act. until you freed me. But still, I had dreams. The prince was younger then, too. I was able to hide the fact that I had only recovered half the knife. He told me what he wished, that the Unhelicos would hold the knife, for they care little who rules hell as long as their nests are not tampered with. That if a demon without the proper signs and signals came to fetch it, they would send it along a route known only to Lucifer and myself, each Unhelicos theoretically knowing only the next stage of the route. I was to create two decoy routes as well. It was my only disobedience in longer than you can imagine to make all three routes empty games and hide the half of the knife we possessed elsewhere. Even today, I do not know why I did so.
So you... Is that why you helped Santino escape hell with the egg? Because you were being disobedient?
Don't interrupt him, Danny. Maybe he'll keep talking.
No. I was ordered to do so by Lucifer himself. I bless the day he did, Dante. It brought me to you.
He turned away from the window, approached the table, and opened my stained canvas messenger bag. I scrambled up out of bed, my legs finally obeying me.
Leave that alone!
It was too late. He held up the book, its cover with leather too fine-grained to be animal skin.
What price did you pay for this, Hedera? What lies came with its presentation to you? I did not tell you of the Ananchimel and their doom for a reason. To know that you would be hunted sooner or later, reviled, suffering endless fear because of a crime you were innocent of. I tried to save you that. I have tried to save you from the knowledge of what you have been drawn into, what has been done to you. You hate me, and well you should.
My hands curled into fists. You should have told me. I don't care what you thought you were saving me from.
Told you what? How could I have explained what I feared to you? How could I burden you with this?
He tossed the book at me. It was a passionlessly accurate throw. And it landed on my feet before it slid off to the side, spine up and open, its pages pressed into the flooring. We faced each other over a small space of crackling, pulled tense air.
Look at what I have done to you. No wonder you hate me.
I don't hate you. I can't hate you. That's my goddamn problem. It was hard work to bend down, keeping my eyes on him and pick the book up.
Nobody gave me any information with this at all. Celine only knew it was a book on the Fallen. Eve never told me what was in it. Sephramel showed me one picture and... Gods, Jephramel. If you're so fucking worried what I'll think of it, why didn't you just tell me yourself? I could have tried understanding, you know.
He actually shrugged.
I hate demons shrugging at me. They do it so much like the only thing humans are worthy of is a shrug. Or maybe we perplex them. I'd like to think it's the latter.
Call me an optimist.
Fine.
I was too tired to fight with him over this.
Let's move on to something productive at least. Where's the knife?
Close.
Silence stretched like taffy.
I have some other things to tell you. But not yet.
Great. More secrets.
I don't want to hear it. It took every scrap of self-control I possessed to hold the book out to him.
If it means that much to you, you can have it. And all your goddamn secrets, too.
The hover evened out. We descended a long way. He didn't move, staring at my hand, holding the book the way a mongoose stares at a cobra.
Just fucking take the thing, Jephramel.
He slid it from my hand gently, as if afraid I'd change my mind. His hand fell back to his side, carrying its cargo. Whatever the goddamn book said, I no longer wanted to know. He couldn't tell me what I was. Nobody could. I was broken. I knew that much. I was a wreck in the shape of a woman, and I had something to get done. But most importantly, I was who I decided to be. Hadn't my life taught me at least that much?
I am Danny Valentine. Everything else is just noise.
I drew myself up in my dusty, blood-spotted clothes.
Now, you're gonna answer a couple questions, and then we're gonna get this goddamn thing done. I'm tired of Lucifer fucking around with me. Where's Eve?
I almost said, where's my daughter?
I couldn't let the words pass my lips. I was keeping my own secrets from him.
I can't throw any stones on that account, can I?
But oh, how I wanted to.
Chained and watched. In the hold.
Great. I turned on my booted heel and stalked back to the bed, scooped up my rig and began buckling it on.
Where are we flying to now?
Sudromerica. Caracas.
I scooped up my sword. The sound of fire in my head abated. A thin red thread at the bottom of my consciousness. Waiting. I rolled my shoulders habitually, settling the rig.
All right. Let's get this run started.
I left him standing there.
I'm getting pretty sick of this cargo hold.
McKinley leaned against a stack of plasteel crates. His aura flushed a weird violet, matching the purplish light running over his metallic left hand. His dark eyes met mine and flicked away, and I recognized the hair-triggered tension in him. Past him, in a space cleared of all gear and boxes, sat a small, slender shape with a flame of pale hair. Her arms locked around her knees, and it became apparent she'd had a hell of a fight. Her sweater was torn, her slacks singed, and she was missing a boot. I stepped forward. Eve's face was buried in her knees. That pale, sleek cap now subtly wrong. Ropes instead of the silk of Doreen's hair. I couldn't even smell her, and that was wrong, too.
Valentine, don't get too close.
Don't tell me what to do.
I took another step. I shoved my sword into the loop provided on my rig, not trusting myself with edged metal right now.
Eve, I know you're not asleep.
Her face came up slowly, a pale dish on jeweled bearings. Doreen's daughter looked at me, and there was nothing human in that blue fire gaze. I searched the demon's face for any shadow of what she'd looked like before. Running along the floor between us was a thin silver strip, a malignant force circling her. It matched the brutally thick cuffs around her ankles and wrists. The silver seemed a part of the metal grating, despite its fluid movement. It was a piece of demon sorcery I'd never seen before and should have been surprised at.
Nothing seems surprising anymore.
Why? Why lie to me?
She acknowledged the question with a slight, wry smile.
Would you have believed me if I looked like this?
But when you were small...
That was humanity. It burned away from me. In hell.
Something crossed her face. A swift flash of vulnerability, gone in less than a moment. The look of a child caught with her hand in a jar full of candy, incongruous on a demon's face.
I keep forgetting how young she has to be, even if time moves differently in hell than it does here.
Jaframel arrived. His hand closed gently over my shoulder, and I didn't know whether it was to offer support or because he wasn't sure if I'd pitch myself at the circle to free her. Eve's gaze flickered up past me. She studied Jaframel intently for 15 long seconds, the color draining under her golden skin, and dropped her face back into her knees. The air subtly changed, and I got the idea she was ignoring us, very loudly and pointedly, and very desperately.
Good for you, kid.
I couldn't find it in me to blame her. I turned and headed for the end of the cargo bay, brushing past Jaff. His hand fell away from my shoulder. The ladder leading up to the main deck was solid, cold plasteel. I rested my hands on a crossbar, staring at my wrists. It occurred to me that they were like Eve's, seemingly frail and made of demon bone.
We both started out human, didn't we? Partly human? Am I still?
I felt human where it counted, inside the aching ruin of my heart.
Jaff, is that what she really looks like?
We are shapeshifters, my curious.
I leaned forward, rested my head on the plasteel.
So what do you look like?
If you're wearing a glamour, I might as well just get it over with now. Horns, fangs, hooves. Let's take a peek. It can't hurt. After all, I've shared a bed with you. Does a demon glamour fool the skin as well as the eyes?
Jaframil considered for a long moment.
What would you like?
I turned to face him. No, I mean it. What do you really look like? The hover started to descend again, pressure pushing against my eardrums.
What would you have me look like, Hedera? If it would please you, I can wear almost any shape you can imagine.
But what are you underneath it? What's the real you?
This is the form I have worn most often. It does not please you?
Just when I thought I had a handle on this, something new managed to wallop me. Never mind. We've got work to do. I swung back toward the ladder. When are you going to let her out of that circle?
When I am certain she is more of a help than a threat. Dante?
I shook him off and began to climb.